Okay, you're ready.
Okay, so call me in order. Can I get a roll call, please? The pen's over here.
No. I think I left all my stuff there, yeah. Okay, Luttrell. Barrera.
Here.
Lemon.
Here.
Cox. Fay.
Here.
Tenorio.
Here.
Fay.
Here. Okay. Please call the order. We're going to go ahead and I've got a guest in the family that I'm going to ask to go ahead and leave the meeting. I didn't want to cancel the meeting. I wanted to go forward. And I talked to Cale. Cale's the vice chair, so I'm going to hand the meeting over to him here in just a minute. If there's a problem, or if you see that there's a problem that is going to need some more discussion, because we are not going to come to an agreement because of the fact that there's quorum, but I don't know how the vote is going to go. So we'll just say that if the committee feels that we want to discuss this, some of the items on the agenda the agenda that we should not have gotten for us information. We can table those till next week. I think that from looking at this, the items that Mr. Knight has given us, I think we can pretty much go through everything. So maybe a couple, since we have some questions on, or you have some questions on, everybody's not big consensus. And if there seems to be a problem, and you all want to table it, you all can table it, and we can discuss it. At the next meeting, which I hoped, well, let me backtrack. I knew that this meeting was going to take a while because of the information that Mr. Knight's given us. So I pretty much envisioned another meeting, but I'm thinking that now looking at the agenda and at the stuff that he's given us, I think we all can knock this stuff pretty quickly. But like I said, if there's problems, we can address those. And if you'll get with me tomorrow and let me know if we're going to have a meeting for next Wednesday or whatever, then we'll go from there. Okay, and I'm sorry, but I've got to go to do a 10, so that's about your loss. Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you all very much, and I pass the meeting on to Kevin.
Thank you. So, I talked to Ron for a few minutes before the meeting, and I guess we can kind of proceed through the information we got. If there's, I guess the way we originally envisioned it was, now that we had some specific verbiage, we would, I guess, have kind of another vote to say we agree on it. I think for any of the items that didn't basically pass unanimously last time, it's probably not worth doing that today, because they're not going to pass, because we only have four people here, and there's only one of the people that, So I think those items, we can at least get some feedback and provide feedback to Mr. Knight, and then we may just have to address those next week when hopefully we can have a little bit more attendance, because, like I said, I'm concerned that we'd just be wasting our time discussing and voting on stuff if we've only got the four of us here. So I guess number one was the discussion of the fidelity bond.
Yeah, that's really, you see that still in a lot of city charters, the certain antique kind of thing. Fidelity bond is like an honesty bond. Way back in the old days, they'd get a fidelity bond through some insurance company because they couldn't go on the internet and check somebody's criminal history and background, find everything there was about them. I don't know of anybody that does a fidelity bond, fidelity bonds anymore, except I work in a public retirement system, and they don't have a fidelity bond. They've got fidelity insurance, like $25 million worth. So, but it's really a bond that pays. I'm getting a bond company that pays a whole different animal. It's a bond that pays in case somebody steals money or something. And it's so much bothering. There, you get $5,000, $10,000 fidelity bond, it doesn't insure you, cover you. but that's what it is. It insures against theft and embezzlement, stuff like that.
So it's that five people that are elected officials or have been?
No, it's really more, it's more for staff.
Okay.
Than otherwise. And I know there's bound to be somebody out there that still does it, but it takes so much to go through the process to get them and everything, and most of the time it's cost of litigation this day and time. It's difficult to get them paid on even if they're applicable and they don't normally cover enough to be worthwhile. But the council does have, it could be useful. For example, I just saw with a city manager in Austin overturned the termination of a guy that had been convicted of fraud right before. Well, normally, that used to be pretty well known, they just transferred him to another job. Well, if somebody had some minor issue or something, if they were there and everybody loved them and thought they were great and wanted to keep them on, say, okay, if you get a fidelity bond or whatever, to ensure you, that it could be used that way. But
I guess I don't know if Oklahoma or anything should be. No, we're bonded is where I live. Because we go inside a member's home.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think it's more to cover, like, here would be a city. Mm-hmm. I was pretty out with it, but if I go to somebody's home and something is either something is broken or something's damaged, it's not only to cover me, to cover what I destroyed, but to cover the co-op.
Right.
In this case, the city.
Right. And here are these dealing city. The fidelity bond for a city person. Normally, they'd be stealing city money. You know, that's for they really have access to the city funds. And a lot of the people out there in the private sector, like you're talking about, that still use bonds, is like maids and companies and people where they got them going in. It's more to the extent of customer comfort. You know, it's more customer comfort that our people are bonded. They can come into your house, and not that guarantees you anything, because PEC's got enough money to pay still. But the fact that they could go through the process, and you're not a petty old file, and you're not a rapist or, somebody's been convicted of theft in the last 10 years. But again, it's discretionary in your charter. Council can still require it anytime they want to.
Any other questions? Okay, so then members of the council can obtain information without using the Open Records Act.
Yeah. I got a call about 2 hours after that event happened, and understand, Tom was a friend of mine, because I worked with him for a long time, but that was about the second stupidest thing I've ever seen a city manager do, to tell a mayor or a council member they want some information about the city, they've got to go through the Open Records Act. You cities that are general law cities that don't have a charter, no better than that. And I don't know why Tom's, might ask the maybe she was by next to him, but I don't know why Tom's attitude it appeared to me it just kept getting a little worse and worse. He didn't take a long vacation or something. But you got, look at the 405, right, the language I put in italics. And then you've got 1306 down there that gives every citizen.
Are there any documents that are considered sensitive, that the council does not actually have access to, or should not have access to. By doing any of these things, are we actually opening up too much?
You have to be careful about it. And I wanted to tell you, if y'all wanted to amend the charter anyhow, that the language I put in down here on that last line of that third paragraph, which says public records and documents.
Okay, so it's just public.
Yeah, but, you know, you have to. I've been there a lot of times when you had to brief council members on something that was highly confidential. And we had it in Austin when I was there. We actually had to threaten the council member with punitive action. She got briefed on some real material issues in the lawsuit. And then some of our lawyers showed up at a deposition. She was sitting there advising the other side. But where it really comes up is like the other day we had some of you may be aware of this, but an employee was terminated. Anyway, the employee was terminated. And for one reason or another, that way. And one of the council members wanted to know all the details. Well, I told him, don't put it in writing, you know, then the council member came back and said, well, I want to know the name and the position. And I said, that's fine, but don't put it in a memo. Go talk to that council member that says the employee was X and here's what, because you've got to be careful about slander, libel, and incorrect. And so, and we had one here a number of years ago, okay, I was here in person. But it's on the council, and we had that, and she went down the street and told, you know, her mechanic that the guy was a crook and a thief and a liar, and told somebody else that, and she got sued. And her getting sued complicated the whole rest of the lawsuit. So there are some things that council, you go into executive session, and sometimes you have to brief them. You know, it comes down to the lip law. I mean, it comes down to something out of the norm.
So the council said, I would like to get so-and-so's personnel file. That's not public record, and they can't have that.
No, it is personnel. Public
it is public record.
Except you redact normally their social security number and anything about their health issues and so forth. As a general rule, a council member can just get almost anything. Now, I had a mayor pro tem in Temple that got in trouble and almost got prosecuted because he learned of an investigation through a council briefing that was going on. And he went out and snorted a few at the club and told some people about this police investigation is underway. District attorney almost prosecuted him because that's it's a violation of law to reveal an ongoing investigation. So what smart managers do, or good managers, or managers you're going to keep an eye on. If council wants the information, they get it, but this last instance, don't put it in writing if he wants this follow-up information. Don't put that in writing. It's too prone to be misused or lost. Or once you put it in writing here, people here get access to it, and they talk. Go talk to them.
Yeah.
And then there's been a few times, Austin was, we had to go to city council a couple of times. Some of y'all too young, but we had two big lawsuits on the South Texas Nuke. It was really $1 billion plus kind of stuff. And we had council members that were over here, and council members over here, and one council member that was giving the other side our briefing papers. And so we had to go to council on a couple of issues like that because people were taking confidential information. And you can't do anything. If you're going to executive session to brief a city council and they go out and blab it to the world, you can't do anything about it except consider that the next election, council can put it on the agenda and smite them verbally or something for it. But as much as anybody does, if the city manager has access to it, council members have it right. The court calls it a problem, you see it in that language. I recommend you give council some. I don't think it's necessary. I found it foolish for that issue to come up. Just unprofessional and foolish, contrary to the charter. But if you want it, I put it in there that unless council finds excessive request, I've been there where I had one council member in a general office at the time, probably 2,500 population. He got copies of damn near every document the city had, literally had. You know, he didn't have to go. He had five file drawers in his home full of.
Basically, we can almost ignore this, you know, leave it as it is, because what he had overrules anyway, Attorney General Groom.
There was no question. Matter of fact, I think that whatever sparked the approach that said make a file record request, I don't think it lasted more than a couple of hours before, okay, I got these.
So do we want to, is there any discussion? Do we want to move forward with trying to change anything, or do we want to decide that we don't?
I would say go ahead and move forward. I mean, just put the verbiage in there, even though it's may not be perceived to be necessary. There can never be any doubt then if it's within the order. So.
You moved?
I'm just speaking. I'm discussing. I'd like to hear other statements, Colin.
I think that you brought those Attorney General rulings, their opinions. I just think that maybe we shouldn't clutter it up with something. I mean, if it's there.
Right.
Although we knew it was there
right. When
the situation happened. But, and that's what I think.
Okay.
But. Yeah, you can put anything in a city manager can. You can't write everything in. I don't know how, but like I said, I was observing the things I saw on the planet, but it almost appeared, and quite frankly, if the council will consult with me when we write the next contract, I can fix that issue so that they don't try to get runoff. And I don't know that Tom was trying to. He had the option of staying. I know that. But you fix their contract for comfort level issues. They don't try to get run off, so they collect under their contract. And I'm not sure that wasn't what was starting to happen.
Actually, what you were saying kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's cluttering it up. Mm-hmm. It's,
yeah.
I mean, I'm willing to not put it in.
There's really just, I have to tell you, there's absolutely no room for wiggle
right. Under
state law and your charter.
Mm-hmm.
The state law is here. Your charter is held, of course, is equivalent to the state statute
right. Itself
and the city's constitution. And look, you can look down, look at the language in there and see nobody. Your kids can't quibble with it. His same provision is in charters all over the state.
So I guess we should either move forward with a motion to accept this change or to, based on clarification, we don't need to make any changes. And you know what it is.
I love the opinion to leave it as is. I'll make a change.
I'm technically, I'm going to make a formal motion and then that's fine.
And I just want to make clear, even though, clearly understand, even though I have recommendations based on experience, I think I have a duty to tell you, I don't have a duty to try to control what you do.
Right.
I appreciate that.
We're going to let you.
And I've been around long enough not
to have that.
Okay, so I know that we decided not to move forward with section 405 changes based on the information from the city attorney.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? So the next topic was permit the council to appoint slash remove the manager with 4 votes, provide for the city manager to reside within the city. So, for clarity, the motion was not specific to the city manager when we had the discussion. The motion was that all votes would be...
We got that, but in like the way Mr. Barrera sent me stuff, we got that covered in another... It is further down on the list on 4 votes stuff. And you've already got, except when I point them out in this paper, you've already got 4 votes as required on everything, even with the exception of a couple of things down that I've got pointed out. You don't want the council, I don't think, council be able to remove a member of council with 4 votes. That requires everybody on the council except the one that's getting removed to vote for the removal, because that's a pretty extreme. You've got recall, et cetera. You don't want a simple majority to be able to remove another member of council. That will cause wars.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll just take this one.
Yeah, it is covered substantially down later in the document. And I was there when they put that 5 in. You remember, Kyle was a lot different town at the time. And there wasn't much housing. My son used to live here. And when he moved in, he rented a little small frame house out on the south side of town. There wasn't any housing here. And there wasn't a lot more here when the city stepped up and adopted this charter to start with. So that's what they... And they were thinking, we're going to have a hard time competing. If we hire somebody maybe that works for the city of Austin or hire an assistant from San Marcos or something, they don't have to sell their house to go work for us. But you've made a lot of... I think those are good changes myself.
Well, so there's 2 topics here. I mean, they don't make very significant changes to the wording. They basically strike one word, put another one in, and strike 4 or 5 words and replace it with 2 words. So I think given the way the votes went down last time, my opinion is that there's not anything in here that I don't think it's legal ease that we would really need clarification unless somebody has any questions about that. I recommend we table this until next week when we have more people here.
Yeah, I think that.
And you can clearly, when y'all get ready, you can divide these into 2 different issues.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just think it fits in these either. We don't have one section not for them.
I mean, I don't have a problem moving forward with people reside within the city. I think on the city manager removal, I think we need to table that one again, but they're pretty minimal changes.
Different cities have different...
So, I mean, it's up to y'all if we want to address the city, location, the residing piece of it, or if we want to just table that and do it all at the same time. I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't think it's going to take, lots of time to really not do that pretty quick. Just the vote next time. Like I said, there's not a lot of legal verbiage to discuss.
Mark?
Yeah, but 405 is pretty heated. I'd like to see more of the group here. I'd like to move forward, though, with the changing of the city actual location.
Residence.
Right. Unless you guys want to vote for the move on.
No. I agree with any of it, but I'm supportive of that. So.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to table the first part of the city manager, changing the vote from 5-4. Does that need to be a motion to table or not?
Yeah, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, so we're going to table the city manager vote. He said it. Is there a motion on the second portion?
I'd like to motion that we move forward with the changing of verbiage under section 7.01 of city manager striking Hayes County or adjoining county to be replaced with the city.
In the language you all had in there about offending county or adjoining county, mm-hmm. Only charter I'm aware of that had their language established thought process.
Is there a second?
That's
okay. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
We did the first.
No, we've already tabled it. Why did we table it? You know, why do we want it?
Why? Because I'm going to vote no.
Well, you already voted no once.
But if I can vote no again, we only have four people, so it's not going to pass, and that's not, I mean, it's not really appropriate, it's not fair.
We vote not going to pass.
Because
we have a quorum.
No, you have a quorum, but you still have to have four votes to pass. Three votes, so the majority of attendees is not a majority, you have to have a majority of the council or the commission or committee or whatever to pass. So you still need four votes to pass.
I have looked at what y'all have got set up, but that's really advisable. Remember, you're going to have to go to city council and the public with this thing. And so it's always better to make sure.
I don't know what he's saying. Is that correct?
I don't know. I can't say.
I mean, in general, like a city council meeting or something, if two people don't show up, you still have to have four votes to pass. So.
Yeah. With your charter. Now, there are charters out there that I particularly don't think are advisable, but nobody died and made me king. They got a quorum show up, they can adopt major legislation with three votes. And the way your charter reads, it's more consistent with your charter and everything about basically it's made replete throughout that they can't do anything without four votes. Everybody else. What you guys do, if it comes down to, you can't get a quorum, you can make whatever vote or report you want to.
See, I thought we could vote no matter as long as there was a quorum of us here.
Yeah, that's
and, we've had that one guy who doesn't show up.
Now we can vote. There's no
I'm not saying, I think that we should wait. I'm for that. But what I'm saying is that, the majority of the meetings, we've only had six people anyway, because one never shows up. And just today that Ron's gone because there's a problem, and I'm not sure what Ron, but she probably has some kind of, she doesn't not come unless it's a legitimate problem, whereas the other guy doesn't show up.
You're talking about Pete?
Jerry.
And what you might do is, it might not work, might not do any good, but what's worked sometimes in the past with these kind of things is send them a memo or something that's okay. Next Wednesday at 6:30, we're going to vote finally on what we're going to recommend to council, everything recommend to council. So if you want participation.
I mean, I think the issue is the last time we voted, there were six people here who voted 4-2 in favor of. Okay, one of those people that voted on the floor is not here. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there's not four votes. I guess the only reason to move forward is to just be done today. I mean, if we...
No, I don't have a problem with tabling, but I'm just curious for the reason for tabling.
Right. I mean, like I say, in most cases, planning and zoning or city council, you have to have four votes. And so if four people show up to a meeting, you have to have everyone vote yay to pass anything.
It would be consistent with the city's practices.
But we're not learning at the whole. Because
those are practices, not... It would still stand if majority voted or there was three.
No, if you read, for us possibly, because it's undefined, our requirements aren't defined, but at the city council it would not, because we changed everything to say 4-3 is a majority vote. So 4 is required to pass, right? I mean, there's no The charter is clear. It takes four votes. Not a majority of the attendees, but a majority of the council. And so from that perspective, now, again, our committee is not governed particularly by this document because it's not required by this document, you know, so we may be able to get by with not following that rule, but I don't know. I mean, I think we should have made every attempt to follow that rule, and if at the next meeting we have a similar issue, I think we need to, at that point, really decide what we want to do as a group. I think that we should, at this point, we should not try to do that, but I think if we have the same situation at the next meeting, then we need to have some serious discussions on it.
And remember, I did a bunch of work on Pasadena's charter just a couple of years ago, and I could tell from day one those amendments were not going to be approved. And it just the process, I mean, and it's important politically, because you're in the process of a political process here, that you, and why I really recommend y'all have the city secretary send a letter to every member of this committee saying, okay, at 6:30 next Wednesday or whatever, the committee is going to vote, finally vote, on what recommendations to make. So if Joe Bob doesn't show up, he had noticed that tonight's the night.
Right.
And so then, if you get in there and say, okay, your report to the council is, we didn't get four votes on this, but the vote was 3-1 or 3-2
sure.
To approve it. Next.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be transparent and move forward in a steady fashion. And that thing in Pasadena, it wasn't. And they didn't get a single one of those 17 items passed.
And you can let it look like we're actually wanting to have consensus of the group and not just have, you know, just happens right. That people aren't here and willing to take advantage of you, my friend.
And I agree. I mean, I think, you know, I think we, ideally, we'd have been able to vote on all these things and be done for today.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think as a given the turnout,
I think
we should give it. I like his idea of notifying everyone. This is the final meeting. You know, last chance to
No member of public or public group can say, well, yeah, so-and-so wasn't there and so-and-so wasn't. Well, they're members. They got notice.
So,
Can you agree? Okay.
I would recommend to notify whoever appointed that person, councilman, to contact
Twitter
person. You know, instead of putting it on you or Ron.
Well, I mean, I like that you're assuming that the memo goes to everyone, but maybe we need to have Ron contact. I don't know if he knows who appointed who or whatever, but I agree. I think that having that appointed person contact them and say, hey.
Wasn't Pete?
Jerry.
No, okay, I'm sorry. I was attending two committee groups down here. Pete was on the other one. Don't forget it.
Lucy appointed Latrell.
Okay. All right. So, do you want to move forward? Or?
No.
Okay, so item number four on here is the city manager must have council approval to appoint or remove a department head. And then the comment from city attorney is, consider the full consequences of this change. This is a major change in the form of government and will materially affect the recruitment of managers. However, desired the following is one example of the required amendment.
This does both change and add a city manager. I wouldn't take a job in a city that I had to get approval from the council to appoint or remove department head. I've been there before, so I haven't been approved of the position. But it's hard. I know it's not how you've seen that way, but it's difficult to be a city manager over a period of time and put up with all the competing forces and viewpoints and so forth. But when you're held responsible and you can't pick the people that's going to be doing the work, and the people that work for you in departments, these are department heads, should be discretionary positions. And they can go lobby council if they know they're getting in trouble. And it happens all the damn time. And I can give you explicit examples. not performing, and so they start going around the city manager, the council, and that starts deteriorating your funds government. Now, with that, I've got your language there that you, if you want to do that, but this is a very material exception to the council manager fund government.
Remember that section.
I do.
You do?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I'll put Jim there.
And you're not going to hurt my feelings no matter what you do.
Yeah, I don't think we want to. I think your example of having somebody that's having the council protect their job, but not, you know, is preventing the city manager from effectively managing its people. I mean, to me, that's not a scenario I want our city manager to be put in.
I've had to fire community department heads before, and you don't like it. But when I was acting city manager of Austin for a brief period of time, I fired one guy because I told him to bring me a report to tell me, okay, how much, regardless of how much the resources, how much money, how many people, and how much time you need to fix this problem. Well, he didn't come back. So I looked him up and brought him back in. He said it can't be fixed. But the problem is he and a crew of people have been working on a year and a half. And it's spent several million dollars. And I looked at him and I said, and I knew he was a screw up because I've been a city attorney. And I asked him, well, why in the hell should the city be paying you a big salary to do a job that you say can't be done? I've been there before and watched in the city, both on staff and in consulting positions, if you will. They didn't do the job, didn't perform, didn't produce the work product, etc. And they knew. And so they started trying to keep their job political. And the councils don't want to take, most councils don't want to have to take ownership of that issue. They're happy to approve the appointments. But frequently, for example, a lot of chiefs of police become very popular in their town because they can be out there glad-handing and shaking hands and, you know, doing stuff all the time. And the council doesn't want to have to step up if that chief needs to be gone, especially if it's close to the march. But I make a point, so you guys.
Well, with all respect, I still believe that I like that, having both approval of removal and appointment, having with the approval of the council. But because this is one of those that might be controversial, I don't know how to vote. I don't remember what your vote was, but it might want, you might want to table that till you know more people can.
I mean, I think I might have voted for this, but after more information, I'm not sure I would vote for this again because...
Well, I just tell you, if you recommend this, talk to your committee. It's only fair. Talk to your committee that's recruiting and make sure your candidates for city manager know it, because you'll end up spending a bunch of time recruiting and they find it out, they'll just start dropping out after you spend a bunch of time. They will. And that doesn't mean you can't get a city manager, understand? Mm-hmm. And it can't mean you, doesn't mean you can't get a good city manager.
Mm-hmm.
But you also run, I mean, from my opinion, you also run a risk on not only on the city manager side, but on the actual hiring of the director side, because you now are in a position where you're going to delay the hiring process because you have to wait for council meetings and all those kind of things. And if you've got a good candidate, they may be getting other offers from other places and maybe in a situation where they have to decide where they're going to go. Are they going to accept an offer here, or are they going to wait and hopefully council will approve the offer that they're going to get over here. And so I have concerns not only on the city manager side, but I think in general, but, you know, I don't want people working for me that I can't fire. I mean, right? I mean, if I got to go to, you know, somebody else to get approval to fire somebody that works for me, I mean, they just undermine their authority. And I mean, after getting...
I think a lot of this came... came up because of the past city manager and the attitude that possibly he had towards some heads, and if they didn't do what he wanted, he could fire them, and that, for whatever reason, if the man will stay, but if it makes them want to toe the mark as to pleasing the city manager rather than doing things that they think are right, like say that the head accountant, whoever that is here, or different heads, they need to have some autonomy in what they're doing and not have to sway it to please the city manager if the city manager has some crazy bent to them. And so I think that's one thing we need to consider. Another thing is if the council doesn't want the responsibility, they can veto this out.
Ultimately the city manager is then held accountable by the council. So if the city manager is doing things, firing people, or doing things that are not appropriate, the council then has the authority to fire him, right? And that's the way it is at any job, right? You have people, you work for people who work for people, and you can fire your people, and the people that you work for can fire you.
There can be gentle coercion. You don't work for a state or governmental entity. It happens. I work for an agency, and by God, we do whatever Perry wants, because we have to. But here, I think they should be able to have more leeway to do what they think is right.
Consider what you said. Okay. If a city manager fires a department head, he's gone. He's had a will person. City manager on contract. You fire him, it costs you $500,000 or more. So you got to wait. Well,
contracts should be different.
But you've got a contract person and you've got a mad will person. You're talking about two different
things. Yeah, I agree with that, but I still think that you have to hold managers accountable for managing their people. And if they're not held accountable for managing their people, then that's a problem. And we can't be holding their hands, right? I mean, we can't use the fact that council wouldn't allow me to fire somebody, and therefore I can't effectively do my job, right? Now you're giving them reason, to get their contract bought out, and you're now giving them the same reason to get their contract bought out because council's not allowing them to effectively manage their city, right? And so
the biggest issue you're going to have with this, literally, other than once you get past appearances, okay, you got a manager on board, he or she is good, and they go about their business. The biggest issue you will have with this is people that are not performing, starting to lobby this council member or that council member, and it happens.
But it could be just the reverse, too, that the city manager takes a dislike to somebody and he wants them out. And
it
does happen. But
and there's why should that not be the case if they've got too much power.
If they're actually doing their job correctly, and it's a personality conflict or a political conflict, they shouldn't be fired over it.
But then they should be held. But then you hold the manager accountable for making that decision.
But I believe we need to table it.
I understand your position. I just, in a small city like this, I'm doing it. I just completed it. I'm going to report the middle of August to the council. I've been away from here in the actual city. Investigation I've done for him. When you come down to it, I don't know of a city manager in the world. If he gets a good department head, I'll try to keep them as long as he or she can. You get down, I'm not going to mention the name or two, but there was a department head here that if I'd been the city manager and he was a major department head, I'd have fired him. I'd fired him for stupidity and incompetence. And he was probably fairly well received here. But that aside, you get into a situation where in a small town, it's less so in a big town. If they can't function as part of a team and with working with each other, and that's big time important in a small town, it's common that you get into small personality conflicts where they they think they're king, and they try to rule over everybody else. If you get somebody like that, it'll cost you more efficiency and more issues than, so, but anyways, that's, I'm more than I should have said, so.
Okay.
Doesn't hurt my feelings, so. You want to make a motion and move on?
I move that we table number 4, which states city manager must have council approved to appoint or remove a table, a department head until we have, until next week when we have more members.
I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm sorry, who did the second?
I did.
And I think that's the last one I'm going to pick up with you on the couch.
Okay, so then that was number 4.
We've done 5, we've already done that.
I've already done that. Strengthen the existing language, such consequences of section 810, which is the first procedure.
I wasn't sure what you guys were talking about, because basically you've got a charter section, because your charter has to have a section. But if somebody intentionally and knowingly violates the purchasing requirements, it's covered by this.
It's kind of also covered by the appeal code.
Oh, it's covered more than you don't have to go to the appeal code.
I believe this particular item, and I could be wrong, but we were kind of moving forward with it because we were interested in getting some information, but I don't know that we, if the vote was really, you know, I think there was still some discussion that we wanted to have with you on kind of the implications.
Once you got one, I don't have a problem because I believe in strong purchasing, you know, procedures and controls. You've got about as strong as you can get. And let me just tell you, because this stuff is also covered by state law, it's absolutely, you know, finitely, you know, it's a local government code of municipalities. And let me,
I don't think we were questioning the figure. I guess what we were asking for is something a little more threatening language, I guess.
It is fair. Let me just...
Well, but nobody's going to be referring back to
this. We're talking about...
But we were talking about, in layman's terms here, for, you know, don't do that anymore. Where you do that one more time, you're out of here. You're gone. That type of language, which you refer back to that, and that's what
that's hard to put in the city charter, you know, the enforcement of the
law. But I think that's what we're trying to get.
Let me just give y'all some comfort. I mean, this is just part of it, obviously, but it goes to the meaning of what you're talking about. 252.062, and this is the Municipal Purchasing Act, is what the name of it is. This particular act is about 6, 7. A municipal officer employed commits an offense if the officer employed intentionally or knowingly makes or authorizes separate, sequential, or component purchases to avoid the competitive bidding requirements, blah, blah, blah. An offense under this section, subsection of the Class B misdemeanor. It don't matter if it's $50. Now, I have to tell you, run into small towns, you run in, I just told them that they need to go through and have their people do a reconnoiter. They're purchasing because small towns frequently, they grow to the point, they don't can't afford a central purchasing office, but, and so they got left the departments out there, and sooner or later the departments build up buying widgets, for example, on an annual basis, where the departments combined buy more than $50,000 of the widgets. And they do it by telephone, you know, get telephone bills. Well, once you pass that $50,000 from the city, you're violating the state law. And so then you find in component purchases, well, it says it's got to be intentionally. You know, they got to know it. But I probably get 7 or 8 calls a year from some city, one city or the other, that says, hey, we'd like to do this, and we'd like to do this, and we'd like to do this, because we need to get there fast. I tell it every time, well, you it's fine to get colleges void if the contracts are void. And, you know, if somebody makes a complaint, it'll be fine. The next section, I think, goes further than that. So I'm talking about sequential things. A municipal officer employee commits an offense if the officer employee intentionally and knowingly violates section 253.021. Competitive bidding requirements for purposes. An offense of this is class B misdemeanor. And then they've got another section there. If continuing to violate this chapter in any way, it's class C misdemeanor. Now, so you've got some comfort level about. The next one says removal and ineligibility. The final conviction of a municipal officer employed for an offense under preceding section are results in the immediate removal from office or employment of that person. And then, for 4 years after the date of the final commission conviction, the removed officer employee is ineligible to be a candidate, to be an employee, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, pretty hefty penalties.
Does that cover... like somebody takes their credit card and goes down and buys a bunch of sandwiches for a meeting over there. Is that addressed?
No, it's not. You don't go for bids on sandwiches, you know.
But so this section is specifically related to purchases that are required.
You've got to have some exceptions. You can't, you know. For example, this thing says, and people do it all the time. Says okay if it's under $50,000, I don't know what you're buying. If it's under for the city as a whole
right
here, when you buy these, you've got to get at least 3 telephone bids. Most cities, it's got a simple purchasing officer bid on anyhow, but you got to get at least 3. And then if it's over 3,000, but less than 50,000, it's when you can't put all this stuff in your charter. If it's over 3 and less than 50, you've got to get at least 2 minority bids. If they're available, you don't have a minority enterprise in the town that does that kind of business. But the council has to budget the funds for whatever they're going to be doing. And then they expend them and then they get audited. And there's no practical requirement that you could go out and do bids for sandwiches or coats or stuff like that.
But this doesn't require that there be a process that defines how sandwiches are purchased or and the process by which that's going to, you know, that there must be a process or anything. I think the concern that was brought up was that people are, I don't know, using credit cards and they're not being very, there's not a very good process around it, as I recall.
Yeah, when they buy a vehicle or buy...
For example, when I was with the city of Austin, and I was with the city of Temple, I had a city credit card. And I had in Austin big time, I had a $100 unrestricted, you know, monthly allowance. That, for example, if I take somebody, we were prohibited from letting people buy us lunch and so forth, but I could take other people to lunch, etc. And most cities have they govern that stuff by policies. That's governing body stuff.
Right. And I don't think we don't want to write the policy.
Yeah.
I guess the question is can we put something in here that would require there be a policy for the, I guess there already is one, it's just not being followed for this.
Yeah. And just that, you know, if everything is there, I just feel like the language is strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Your charter, if it's inconsistent with state law, it's not any good anyway. I would encourage y'all, don't let one guy that's here 11 years, that in the last year, whatever it was, maybe got out of sorts with the world, don't let him make you screw up your city.
I don't think we are, and I think it was more than one Yankees that caused that.
I'm not doubting I know I've just been lacking. Last year, there was two or three things that happened that I
Let me ask you a question. This is completely off the cuff. I know when it's in the school ministry it's illegal, but because of tax, federal monies and state monies, buying liquor, since it's a packing entity, is there any eating grounds for
that? No. As a matter of fact, for example, I don't know if y'all have had a civic center, but you'll have one sometime in the future, can't operate one without liquor on the street. Even in this town that I'm doing, it's 9,000 up close to, right close to Waco, I'll give you the name. Most of the vice presidents of Baylor University live in that little town. And most of the professional people, and a lot of professional people in Waco area, they buy liquor. They got a rule in their personnel policy that you can't transport liquor in a city vehicle, but they have a arboretum, little civic center thing, and they have other things. Austin has a silly rule that that you can't charge a drink, a beer, or whatever, if you get a meal somewhere. You can't charge it back to the city. They can't reimburse you for it. Very few cities have that rule, even the small ones. But that can be in the personnel policy. That's city council stuff. But it's not in legal. And again, what I wasn't sure what y'all wanted out of this thing, because it's a fairly strong purchasing requirement, and it sounds like what y'all want is just the council to maybe they're bound to have a purchasing policy.
Well, that's what I was thinking, last night at the council meeting, because that's what they've been discussing is the credit card use and all that. And so last night they talked about us, I think going to purchase orders and stuff. A lot of it is...
You're getting big enough to start doing it.
But
it comes down when, okay, you got enough to establish the bureaucracy necessary to do it, if you will.
Right.
And clearly, credit cards, I'm a little somewhat surprised that cities of maybe 40,000 or 50,000, frequently the people, when I was in Temple, a long time ago, times were totally different than they are now, they'd come down from the finance department if they needed to buy something for, rather than go through the check process and all that kind of stuff, we had central purchasing, they'd come down and get my credit card to go buy snacks for the council meeting if they wanted on that night.
Hmm.
It was a city credit card.
Yeah.
But most councils, just like the automobile use, and I'm not going to get y'all in that, but this is one of the issues up in this small town. People got complaining about automobile use, and I just pointed out this wasn't a crime. Look at the Austin American Statesman on this day in July, big headlines about councils upset about some of the automobile use. It's stuff that you can get councils to address. All policies have to be approved by the city council. But whatever, and you've already got them in place, so you'd have to go in, let's say you got to have a policy, you'd have to go into numbing detail.
We don't want to write the policy, right?
Yeah.
So I guess, forward, we need to just provide more concrete information to Mr. Knight on, what we're looking for.
And the fact that there's another two chapters elsewhere on purchasing the city. And if you're doing it, the city, you're expected to know. If you don't know, okay, you're going to eventually get convicted. Somebody else.
How we want to move forward with any discussions. We want to try to come up with some more concrete information, give Mr. Knight, and move forward, or be comfortable with...
No, I think I'm comfortable with what, that's the only question I had to ask him about. stronger language, but refers back to the language is in there. It's just that I'm happy, I'm satisfied.
So is there a motion that we move forward by including this change in the
not so moved.
So. Okay, who did it?
Mark. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes. Okay, so it is 7:35. We kind of been trying to get out by 8. I guess let's keep working, and we'll in 15 to 20 minutes and get a little closer to 8. We can make some decisions as to whether we want to continue or postpone. I want to make sure we get enough done today that we can finish next week.
Yeah.
So section number 7, establish separate committee to establish council compensation increases. And the comment is what kind of committee and membership requirements. And I guess for you, we had some discussions about this. And I think in general there was agreement that we were okay with maybe proposing higher compensation. The amount was very disparate, so we had people like trying out to get $150 a meeting. Well, let's give them a $25 or $50 to we should pay these people $25,000 a year. So we felt that we didn't have appropriate information related to what kind of is the market price and what is the right thing to do. And so our thought was, well, let's just have, some sort of separate committee that would be and
with a charter issue, you have to be real careful because the council, you could have the council can form a committee to review and increase it periodically. You got to be careful to not get appointed committees doing that because they're not elected. And you can't hold them responsible, except it varies. And what you could do is clearly you could do anything you want to, recommend anything you want to. It varies widely. I don't know. I mean, Leander is zilch for service on the city council. In some cities, you've got per meeting, a small fee per meeting. And then you've got, you jump up to like Austin, that's 40,000 a year. I always thought in the work there would be better if they didn't get paid and spend enough time there.
Because, at this point, our meetings are running till midnight every 2 weeks, and it's taking, we asked a couple of the city councilmen how long it took for them to prepare.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like 40 hours.
My interpretation of the discussion was that one kind of said that, and the other one was, didn't necessarily want to disagree, but wasn't overly seemed a little surprised at that number.
But it is a lot, because it's not just kept the council meetings, it's all the committees that they have to deal with.
I wouldn't do it myself.
No, but that was job. It's known all the time about it. About the council people, but
I think they should be compensated, and I'm not saying they shouldn't get raises, but I think if you compensate people enough that they're willing to run just to get paid, they can have the wrong situation. If the compensation is such that people are willing to run because they want to get paid for that, because of that compensation, you're going to get the wrong people. You're going to get people in there that's only goal is to get reelected so they can keep getting that compensation, and I'm not sure that. I'm talking excessive compensation, $25,000, right? If we're going to give another $100 of meeting or whatever, that's not going to, that doesn't put me into that realm, right? I don't know what that number is for me, but certainly I think this $25,000 number, that puts you in a position where I think people would run just to get the money, and I don't want that. To me, that's not the right scenario to be in. We don't want people that are running just because they want to get paid.
So, are you saying that it's best to put a value here to change that amount, or to actually
only one of you guys, if y'all want the impact there, just to try to amend Section 309, there's more than one way you can do that. Be careful about saying you want the elected people to have to do it, but because they're the ones you can hold accountable.
But those people that are elected are the county.
And if the county is going to sit there, I don't know. But they're a governing body. You don't want to let them.
Actually, Congress sets their own pay, right? So,
and, you know, I could screw you over royally if I'm on the council. And I can appoint each council member, appoint a member of the committee, go out and do that. Okay, I'll take it. I didn't want it, but okay. They're going to get whatever they want. And
they want to make up the council today. Over half of them couldn't even accept it.
Yeah,
because they're state employees. So
if you want to do something there, I'll think. What should you? There's two or three ways just that I can think of off the top of my head. One, you can just basically raise the amount. It's been about 10 years, close to it, since we adopted the charter to start off with. City was a lot smaller, a lot less involved at that time. You could do that, recommend an amendment to do that. Might not be the best time in history to do that for the voters. Two, you could amend it to put a sentence in. The SAC Council will review council's compensation at least once every 5 years. Or you can put, requiring the council, okay, I'm not trying to get a raise, but I got to do this. Or you can put a cost of living adjustment in it where it's adjusted. I've seen city charters with that where it's increased by the CPI each year. For example, Dallas, it's common use in this area. You could put something in there that you leave it, this thing flat, but then you put in addition, council will receive $100 for each council meeting attended during that month.
Well, that's already what it's saying. You definitely just increase it from 150 to 250 or whatever.
And they pay month for month. No, they get paid when. The way it's worded, see, it's Lord talking to you. They have to forfeit it if they don't attend meetings, but they get paid $100 per month. A council member does. Period. Just they're a council member. They get paid $100 a month. If they don't attend the meeting, a regular meeting, they got to forfeit half their pay for that month. What I was trying to say is one of the four or five ways you could. In fact, this if y'all chose, is you could put a sentence in there that says these fees are affected their base flat fee. In addition, before the length, council shall receive X dollars for each council meeting they attend each month, not to exceed three meetings or something like that.
Not the council only meetings. They attended a non-council meeting.
Add whatever pigtails you want on that thing about other. You just have to be, for example, I know because I did something for the retirement system today that City Council in Austin has got first, second, third reading on their final budget for the year, 13th, 14th, and 15th of September. So it's a balance between. But you guys have got lots of flexibility if you want to build flexibility into this.
So you can have it, say it like this, $200 for the mayor and $100 for each of the council, and if they don't show up, they forfeit half of it?
That's what's in there.
Okay, and for the ones that show up, they get an extra X amount to that.
Yeah.
You show up, you get money, you don't show up, and they're taking your money away.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got lots of flexibility about.
You got to make sure we're hitting there that somebody may show up and just put a roll call and then go.
Yeah.
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 Let's sit first.
Well, I think there's some rules that I expect to make in this better. But, I mean, I guess the question then becomes, I mean, does this stand any chance of actually being passed by the voters? I mean,
any kind of federated, but probably not.
However, you know, the thing is that if people are rational about it, you know, I work for the Workforce Commission, and so there are no raises for anybody, even though we're working double time because there's more unemployment and more tax fraud and all that stuff. But So there are no reasons for us, even though we're working harder. But if I was in the public, you know, out there and didn't, I would realize that it does cost money. It does cost money to progress, and that some people are complaining about, you know, recycling $3 a month. I mean, there are people that are going to complain about any dime that's going to become more. But I think we should at least put it in there, whether the public is wise enough to see that the council's doing a good job, or they're trying to do a good job, and that they can compensate a little bit more money. I'm not saying $20,000. I'm saying it's a few hundred dollars a month, but max. But I don't know. That's my view of it. And we can't say, well, the public's not going to think of it in a rational, reasonable way.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, my only reason for saying that is, again, I hate to put stuff on the ballot and just make things that, you know, I mean, if we have a long laundry list of things that we're going to put on there, it just gets confusing, and then people look at it and just like, no, they don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they even just come and go, yes. But they're not really voting on the items, they're just checking boxes. And
right.
I mean, I want to make sure that they're, you know, they want to be there, they want to be educated about it.
Like they all might have about 10 amendments, roughly, by the time they get through. If council swallows all of them.
Right.
That's really highly doable.
Sure.
I've been listening to a lot of strategy sessions over this same issue before, and there's one strategy, give them something to vote against, if they want to vote against something. You know, I don't want to go home and tell people I voted for every damn one of them. You know, that's just the way voters. So if you want to do something, if the committee as a whole wants to do something, I don't think I would do it and try to do it in the context of what you've got, what you've got.
Mm-hmm. Instead of the committee.
Yeah, committees can be abused so easy.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I support giving an increase, I mean, some sort of minimal increase. You know, I mean, I think without more research, I had a hard time supporting, you know, some huge increase.
Mm-hmm.
But
I like, you know, from past experience, I don't think 40 hours a week, but 15 to 20 hours a month. 20 hours a month will be devoted into...
There's no, it's more than 20. They meet twice a month at last...
Yeah, well, I was on the school board, and we met twice a month, too. And you go to your agenda, and then on the phone.
Absolutely.
And you break it down by the hour. Because I appreciate it for a lot of people. So, hey, y'all getting well paid. Well, like we were getting paid 40 cents an hour, so we broke down to, you know, to put up with the abuse from those 10,000 people. And but I'm sure we break theirs down, it's going to break down to about 50 cents an hour.
Absolutely.
And I don't have a problem, you know, going 200, 300. That's my gut out.
One of the things is there's literally not any, you know, you can be, if you, to the extent you want to, you can be creative, you can be conservatively creative, or whatever. For example, all kinds of examples that you can think of, but example, you could say, okay, it's going to be $400 a month or $350 a month plus for the mayor plus, you know, or $500, whatever, and then $200 a month or $250 for council members, and plus, you know, annual cost of living adjustments based on the CPI. Anything else you want to put in there if you want to do something. And I put the thing in there, we're going to increase it now, and the council is required to consider this publicly not less often than every 5 years.
So
give them an excuse.
So we have two other things here. We can either come in and raise this, or we can come in and say the council's going to take care of it, or both, right? We can do both. Does anybody have any strong discussion about whether the council, we should, you know, consider allowing the council, you know, on some frequency to do this themselves? You know, is everyone for, against it, and any opinions?
If we're going to allow the council to do it themselves, I'm okay with that. I would like verbiage in there about it can't take effect until the following council member's term.
There is some actual law on that, too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they vote, if, for example, if I'm on the council and I vote to give council a raise, I don't know what Austin does, but Austin is a different law. Give council a raise, I'm not supposed to be able to legally get that raise myself
right.
until my next term.
But it's already in law.
Yeah.
Do you know where that is?
It's been a long time, okay. And I don't know, actually. I don't deal with that, but I can look it up and send you on the email.
Okay. Yes, I think that...
It's constitutional, as I believe. But... And remember, and you might know, I pay attention to those things because I'm strange. About the California city that's getting all the trouble here, like the small one, they're paying themselves $400,000 a year.
But it was a big shit
out.
It wasn't.
It wasn't $400,000.
The council members are $400,000+ a year. Some staff members are
consider putting in a provision that council would, on some regularity, review and make the decision themselves?
And you hold them accountable.
Oh, yeah, I'll make the motion that we set it to Barney to work the verbiage out.
I can send y'all some wording back. Not that any wording I send you can be adjusted. Obviously.
And we recognize that. Appreciate your reminding.
Well, I just, because the way I might word something, I do this stuff all the time, the way I might word something may just, and it can only, and here, one of the things, if you want to limit the bass out of the thing, you can do it, say, okay, not less often than, for example, every 3 years in January preceding the annual election. Something about it. That way they know when they do it, they're going to get the voters are going to...
Just only a handful of them will be up at that time.
Yeah, but they're not going to get it until the next time they're up.
Right.
And if you want to, I would send it. I can put that law in here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. That they don't get a chance
because
for the next term.
There's so much obscure law on cities and stuff.
I don't even remember it was up.
So maybe we could please restate that.
Were
we going to adjust the compensation or just do
we're
going to
allow
the council
to adjust the compensation.
Okay. Get it. Okay.
So make a motion that we change the verbiage and allow council to adjust the compensation every 3 years. And I don't know if it costs
a living. You can put a limitation in there not to exceed the cost of living index increases.
You know, I think $150 you add 2% to it. I'm not even sure. Unless we're going to get up to some number that's really significant, to me, muddying it with a CPI change is not...
That they look at, they give themselves, see, I was thinking of giving themselves a little bit of a raise, but then they get a cost of living. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, that's just kind of a nice thing.
I agree, but like I said, if it's $150 and 2% or whatever, I mean, are they going to take a decrease in the cost of living change, goes down? I mean,
does it ever go down?
It did.
Yeah.
When?
Last year.
Yeah. For Kyle?
But the cost of gasoline changed so much after, when it was $4 a gallon and then it went down, I mean, that change caused the actual cost of living to go down.
Yeah, right now we don't know if in the next 2 years we're going to have inflation or runaway inflation.
So I'm not opposed to it, but I think that number is so small to me, it's not worth
it. If you don't do something with it, If y'all want to do something, why don't you consider bumping the monthly dollar up some? You know, okay, it's been 10 years. And if you want to have council every 3 years or whatever after that, or review. So it's, but that's up to y'all. Just suggestions about listening to conversations here.
I'll withdraw the motion that I started twice. okay. So if we bump it up, what do we want to bump it up to? The mayor's sitting at 200 and the council members at 100.
Okay,
150
each up.
150 each up,
mm-hmm.
Including the pay for attending meetings, or because you were discussing that.
Well, I think it should stay the same. Not half of it. I'd say like $50 or something, because there's still, you know, what if their mother died or something? I don't think the chef at Fort they have their pay when they prepared for it. So it's still like the council will get $250, and if they miss a meeting, $50. And if the mayor misses one, you know, $100 or $75 or something like that. But then it makes it more complicated when you're breaking it up. But I don't think half of it, because I don't think that that's necessarily fair.
Right.
$50 a meeting, the council. So you said council to $250 and then
the mayor to $350.
The council is $250.
And that's your point, but I'm not. What if they just don't come? Right? I mean, I'd be more concerned that they
prioritize. Oh, you think half of it taken away?
Yeah, and only simply because, I mean, if they prioritize, and I think the mother case, I agree with you in that case, certainly, but in cases when some business meeting comes up or some other meeting comes up and whatever reason, they made a prioritization decision and didn't show up, I don't think they should be compensated for prepping when they don't show up to a meeting.
Well, it's a common issue, put in unexcused absence.
Yeah, unexcused absence.
And what's
the definition of an excuse?
Yeah, they usually, somebody will call either the mayor or they even call here to let us know.
I got it. Do they have to vote?
No.
For example, I've had them in the homeroom city where they come to council and guy was retired, and it was in the early summer 1 year, and he was going to quit running. Run the next year, and he said, okay, I've been on the council 12 years and all this kind of stuff, and I want my wife to retire and finally now, and I want to go to New Mexico and spend 2 months out there this summer with my son's captain. And council said, voted on the record, we excuse it. If you have the flu, then excuse it.
I guess, I'm okay. If it requires an actual council vote for them to say it's excused, I'm fine. If I was on the council and I was going to show up, I probably wouldn't, if it's the money, I wouldn't even want it to come up. I'd probably just say, take it as unexcused and don't even address it for me.
People go on vacation. I'm just trying to. Because you guys have got all the, what I'm trying to say, you got all the bows and ribbons you want, but I don't
ever work for Congress.
No, that's true. So what you're talking about now, and I'm understanding you all believe vote on it, is $350, $250, and council review it every third year.
Yeah.
I think we need to have more people to vote on that, don't you think?
Well, your vision's going to have to come back.
It'll come back. You shook your head. I didn't know if that was just a shake of the head or something to say.
Okay. I have more problem with going back to the people sworn in for meeting, leaving early or leaving halfway through the meeting or the first part of the meeting.
Right. Is there a rule that describes if you're at their roll call, are you counting?
I think so.
A council member can say so-and-so left.
It's not uncommon, but I've written charters before. former council, you know, I've been there in meetings, I'm sure some of y'all seen where somebody gets PO'd and steps up and walks out.
See, now, so if it's a four-hour meeting and they leave after the first hour, they won't need to compensate for the 1 hour.
No, I'm not going to compensate for any. I'm sorry, that's not
what I mean. That's what I mean.
You know, I mean,
I think that they should
somewhere where we got language in there about the controls that issue.
Now, if you put something like they must be there for 90% of the time of the meeting, if not, then they don't get paid.
Well, and if they're going to leave, they should be made to let somebody know, because that's one of the things that I have to keep track of too. And a lot of times somebody will get up and be gone, and yeah, and they never came back, and then they'll be asked, did you put down what time so and so left? Well, I saw her leave, but I didn't have the time.
So they were gone for a long time.
Yeah, so that I think that if they're just gonna hop up and leave, they should be made to leave, you know, let somebody know.
I didn't mean to open it.
No, but I heard, I mean, they shouldn't get credit if you show up and leave something.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can even put that
on the agenda. I'm putting it there. 10 minutes at a full meeting.
A full meeting.
Well, yeah, but whatever the word of the day you want to end up with, entire meeting. Unless they attend the entire meeting, they get upset. I don't put y'all on.
Can't look the doctor for 5 minutes.
Not just, I mean, you know, they get to go to the bathroom, whatever. But, you know, I mean, if you never sit up there, you want them to go to the bathroom.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that.
But I agree. I mean, if they show up for an hour, to me, they shouldn't get credit for that. Right. I mean, if they made an effort and they had to, you know, they left 5 minutes in the interview, I think, you know, really not count that too. But I also don't want to write a bunch of rules. I don't want to write a whole bunch of rules for that scenario either, on the other hand. But I mean, I think the intent should be that you come to the meeting and you're there at the meeting. And if you show up for some minimal portion of it, that doesn't count.
See, that would have to be, so if we leave it just as it is, They lose half of it if they don't go to the meeting. But then it's kind of an internal thing on how much they get docked if they're only there for an hour or 5 hours.
I recommend y'all not paying these folks like Donald Trump or somebody. keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
Okay.
Right. So, $250, $350. And review every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we'll act on that at the next meeting.
Yeah.
So, is there anybody that has any objections at this point that we should address? So that
I'll complicate your lives just a tad more. Remember, you've got a charter review committee that has to be appointed under your charter every 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can put that in the charter review committee.
But they're required to evaluate it.
Mm-hmm. But that now, never mind. That's not happening. They'd have to be voted out.
That can be the same where we started with it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, I'll see y'all.
Okay. All right. So, clarify powers of eminent domain. Are there any? Anybody bring that? Are there any questions?
The chapter right before it's really sharp on eminent domain proceedings. And it's very broad, you can't change it. And then if you want to get really just in the local government, because you go index under eminent domain, and there's a couple of columns. And then you go to transportation code, there's more. You're basically got the power of eminent domain, as state law provides, subject to the limitations of state law. Remember some of the changes we made last year?
Yeah.
So is there any discussion, do we want to do anything different, or is this clarification satisfy everyone, or is there anything? And we can, again, it can be addressed next week, I guess, if people have a follow-up. And move on. Section 9 was related to the transition, and it was repealed, according to this, in 2006 in Sound Market Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a done deal, unless anybody has any discussion on it.
Mm-hmm.
10, clarify use of the majority. That's just a clarification. Again, are there any concerns or questions about this, and obviously when we get to number 11, is really dealing with the, you know, the actual changes that we have proposed.
If y'all are going to...
I think it, we're not going to get to 11 today.
I think
we're hitting 8 o'clock, not to mention that's a fairly... That's vote. I think falls back to the same one that we issued we had earlier where...
it's not a bad deal. You've got a couple of exceptions, just be wary of them. And you don't want the council to be able to remove a member by majority vote. Because you don't have issues. I bet you voted on the minority side a couple of times, don't you think?
So we've gotten all the way through 10. We have 11 left, which is the changing of the vote for simple majority across the board. We have 12 left, which is the debt management. And we have 13 dealing with how long people can serve on the boards.
Well, now, understand, I want y'all to understand, the way I interpret this is you're not limiting a service on the board to 2 years, you're limiting their term.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, and I don't know that you've got anybody that's got a term longer than 2 years to keep council.
That's correct. I think all the other ones are 2 years. I think this particular one we had some problems with because the version of the document that we got apparently is not the current version. And so we decided we don't really need to change anything,
right.
But then when we couldn't find it in there,
right.
Because the 5 year...
The PMZ was done last time, so they can't...
Right, so I think that was addressing the problem. We can either try to talk more about it today or when we do it next time. I mean, hold up. I guess let's talk about it for a few minutes, just in case we want him to do something different, he can come prepared for the next meeting.
I think we agreed on everything, but then there was the question of... fitting out for a term, and the term would be 2 years before you could run for that position.
So like a PMZ or something,
right. Yeah.
And that's the one that I think the only one you really control is.
Right. Yes.
So if you want that, I can put it.
I mean, right now it says 5 years, and then that means they have to be out for one day, and then they can come back on. Is that your interpretation?
Well, generally, I suppose the quickest way they can overcome that limitation is, for example, to go off under the Constitution, even after 5 years, for them to go off, somebody has to be appointed to fill the position.
And if that person then resigns to something,
another member of the commission resigns or dies or something, 2 months, 3 months later, they can appoint that person back.
What we were looking at was putting in something that said they had to sit out for a full term before coming back. Exactly.
That was my idea.
Y'all want me to quibble that?
Please.
Change in.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we had everything to you. If everyone would read the stuff related to the voting, and if you have concerns or possible deviations from the proposed wording, please send it to Ron, and then he can work with the city attorney on trying to make, because again, I want to make sure we come overly prepared for the next meeting so we can be done with it and go home.
Unfortunately for y'all, I've said everything I'm going to need to say.
You're scheduled to come next week, right? Okay. Please.
All right, I have a motion to adjourn the meeting until next week.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all. I think we had a lot done today. And I hope the next week will be a fairly quick.
Yeah, because I'm starving. Now I'm going to make my brother eat the rest of the stuff.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And I'll call Ron and give him an update tomorrow on kind of where we got to.
Okay.